Good news, everyone!
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great! Everybody else sucks!
Let's get dangerous!
Yes, sir, random kid I just met!
It's time to check the lid.
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention to me.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is the off season of FTN fantasy football, sports, and fun, and lots of things. As you can tell, we're starting the off season. Quick hitters this time of year, shorter shows, but we're still here for you. At Chris Meany, at Olin Kid. Lauren's on vacation for a while. Well, just the change in the show. She's not on vacation. She might be doing some vacation. I don't know. I'm going on vacation. I'm going on my first ever cruise, but that's not till June. I've never been on a cruise before. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But still going to talk in the off season. Meany's going to be on vacation because I'm kicking him off the show next week. We're taking a little bit of hiatus because we're going to come back the week after that for two shows for free agency. But we still have a show next week. I don't even know if Fox knows about this. I don't know that anybody knows until I say it right now. You'll want to tune in next week because it's super easy, barely an inconvenience, to watch this show next week. There's a big hint. I am having a guest next week. That is the one and only Ryan George. If you enjoy pitch meetings and you enjoy watching him over on YouTube, we're going to sit down and chat. Just have some fun for a show. Ask him questions. If you have anything you want me to ask him, tweet or send it over to me at All In Kid, and maybe it'll make the list. And we can see. Speaking of making the list, I'm also going to be down. Meany, I don't know if you know this, in North Carolina on Sunday in Greensboro, watching Sting's final match with our good friend G-Man Jay. So yes, making the list down in there. And if you like baseball, how's it feel, Meany? How's it feel? First show under the books with Dane Martinez on Saturday night, 7 p.m. on SiriusXM.
I honestly felt like I had to shake a little bit of rust off just to get into the baseball talk. It was good though. Dane's super professional and
like George Kirby.
Yeah.
Got shelled yesterday. So you say, look, baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. You can go back and listen on the app if you want to. It's Saturday evenings now. But yeah, we went over the labor draft and we talked first base and second base and just really, some guys just catching people up on some prep, some old faces and new places type deal, like Soto and Corbin Burns and their new environments, what it means. But yeah, it was a good time. I actually woke up Saturday morning, my internal clock, all right, I'm ready for the football show with Jake. Nope, don't have a football show. Go back to bed. It'll be the baseball show later on tonight. So we'll be with you guys for the next couple of Saturdays, but it was a good time.
So, and if you're looking for football, we're still here. Plenty to go on, and over at The Athletic, the offseason rankings are up, but also baseball draft kit is out too, so if you do play baseball and you want to pay attention to that, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Speaking of moving on, something just happened with the Chiefs as we started the show. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, thank you for resurrecting your career in the playoffs, thankful from Patrick Mahomes, but now you gone. He just got cut as we started the show. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Mecole Hardman out there trashing the Jets in his interview. Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I don't even want to talk about that. The biggest thing I want to talk right off the hopper is because this week is Combine week. I'm actually, as you can see, not there. Mostly because there was a report yesterday, and this is how I felt for a few years now. Actually, pretty much since my second experience being there, is what's the point? And I'm not saying you can't learn some things, and I'm not saying potential third-day prospects, even third rounders, shouldn't be there to get more notoriety with teams, to get some eyes on them, to potentially improve their draft stock. But overall, as a whole, I feel like we give this way too much attention. This is, to me, almost kind of like pitcher wins in baseballs. You did a lot. Actually, not even a pitcher wins, is quarterback wins. I got to think of something else. That's
QB
even
wins
worse
is a
than
good
that.
One.
Yeah, because that's the thing. So the report, in case anybody doesn't know what I'm referencing, probably not, because I didn't even give any clues to it. But yesterday, there was a report that Sean McVay had kind of started this trend a few years ago, is that because players are coached up, that you just don't get any information anymore. So the player interviews have become almost pointless for teams, let alone what we get. I put the tweet out yesterday, meaning And I joked that the GMs and coaches, I'm like, oh, what a surprise that somebody on the team under contract has big plans in 2024. Like, they don't give us information. They're not going to trick a coach into being like, you know what? Yeah, I am going to use blank and cut blank and use, like, they're not telling us anything. The only thing we got out of this combine so far, this is the only thing, meaning. And oh, by the way, real quick, sorry, to go back to Sean McVay. The report was that Sean McVay went from, hey, the teams meet with 50 players, to Sean McVay shows up and says, I want to meet with these five, seven guys. And that's it. And then he's out. And like Les Snead, same thing. Like, I've seen it before because I've seen it when I'm there. It's like, we're in, we're out. These are the guys we want to talk to. These are the guys we need more information on. And that's it. They're not going to break any news on the podium. They're not going to do anything like, oh, my God, he ran a 40, that blah, blah, blah. Unless you're running a 4.2 or a 4.9, like, we've seen this time and again. Who the bleeping bleep cares that you ran a 4.37 versus a 4.47? Nobody. Like, nobody should care. It's been proven. I did a whole article about the metrics that matter and don't. And guess what? 90% of the stuff at the combine doesn't really matter in the long term. But to go back to this whole thing, is the one that we did get, the one piece of little tiny news is, like, there's kind of two things here. One is Jonnu Smith being released. It has nothing to do with the coach speak stuff. That was just fun to see because Kyle Pitts might actually be, we're going to get sucked in again.
Yeah.
But with that same team, this is the best news I saw. Raheem Morris on the podium said, if we had a different quarterback, I might not be here right now talking to you as the Falcons head coach. Meany, you think the Falcons are in the market for a quarterback this offseason?
I did not hear that, actually. That's a joke.
You didn't hear that?
And he's not wrong.
He legitimately said that. He legitimately said, if we had a different quarterback last year, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you.
And he's not wrong, and I love that. And it's actually refreshing. I feel like I'm really going to like Raheem Morris as a coach from some of his quotes already. Like, the first thing that he said basically when he was hired, when they had the press conference, was Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. And it was like he was asked a follow-up question, like, how's this offense going to look? And he just, like, repeated again those three guys. Like, and it's just really refreshing. And it's also just really refreshing to hear coaches like Sean McVay and others across the league just be open and honest about things instead of the old school coaches that have been around for a long time that is feeding you BS. And you know that it's BS. So, it's really refreshing. He's not wrong. They need a quarterback. I know, according to DraftKings Sportsbooks, like, you know, Justin Fields is favored to go there. And there's some other guys that are, you know, Russell Wilson. I kind of think it's going to be Russ. I don't think.
Really?
You don't, we're off field topic here. I just feel like Russ is going to get cut and he's going to have a choice to sign somewhere and it's going to be super cheap. And I don't think he's going to want to go to Pittsburgh. I don't think he's going to want to go inside that division with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. I don't think he's going to want to go inside the division in the AFC West with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and go play for the Raiders. I think the best opportunity for him to win, and I heard him with Brandon Marshall this week say he wants to win two Super Bowls, and I laughed my ass off, and I was thinking, dude, the only way you're going to win two Super Bowls is if you back up Mahomes in Kansas City over the next 5 years. But he has a good chance to win in Atlanta, at least a decent chance maybe to get his team to the playoffs with all those weapons and the decent defense. But, yeah, I did not hear that, and that's a funny comment from Raheem Morris. But I'm with you on the combine, man. Like, it's just – even Marvin Harrison –
is that Harris, the only team? What about the Patriots?
The Patriots, what, need a quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they need a quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. No, could you see Russell Wilson with the Patriots? I can see it just because I know the Patriots love to trade back, and I know it's not Belichick anymore, but you tell me that, like, there's not a chance. Like, I think there's at least a 50-50 chance they trade out of three.
Because
it's the Patriots. Because
I know.
You're telling me if the draft doesn't actually, like, I expect it. So as of today, we'll talk draft real quickly. We're going to talk a lot more draft in April.
Yeah.
But as of today, I actually think it goes Caleb Daniels, not May.
I agree.
One is not just because also I am a Daniels fan over May, but also it comes down to stylistically, look at Cliff Kingsbury's quarterbacks in college and the NFL. There's been, I think, two quarterbacks that didn't really fit that mold of playing off script, which we have to get to the Kurt Warner thing. No, please don't. But the off script, like, he likes quarterbacks that can improvise. Basically, it's like a one read and done. And it's not like a one read and done. It's like, if it's not, but it's like, there's not five reads. There's not four reads. You're not hot routing 50, because you're improvising. The quarterback is, and that opens things up for the style of the offense that he runs. I'm not saying May can't do that, but Daniels does it a lot better. Anyway, so that being said, I can see the Patriots either just, if they love May, they're happy, they take him. But if they're not enamored with May, and then they're like, we're out of here, somebody's going to trade up and take May. I could just see that happen. Anyway, so let's play this game real quick. It's way too early, but if it's Fields as the Falcons quarterback, or if it's Russell Wilson as the Falcons quarterback, let's talk Kyle Pitts, man. Jonathan Smith is gone. Like, the biggest thing is Arthur Smith is gone, and now Jonathan Smith has been cut. Is Kyle Pitts, with either quarterback, one or the other, pushing top three? And I say top three because top five kind of like, you could back into 800 yards and six touchdowns and be top five. Like, it doesn't take much. I want to say top three, as then he puts his name into the conversation where he gets past now George Kittle. He's past Goddard and Njoku last year. That he's now in the conversation with Laporta. It's crazy I didn't have to say that. But Laporta and Kelsey and Andrews, if he's healthy, like, he's going to be in that tier with Fields or Russell Wilson, or could it be with either one?
I think it could be with either one. I would say, I don't know if three is, it's tough because we have the rookie season and we know how good he is. Like, he is extremely good. And I think people that have just watched him over the past couple of years is like, wow, what the heck? Is this the most overrated player in the NFL? Because all I hear is that he's good. He's talented. He's a mismatch. He can line up wide. He can line up all over the field. He's like a wide receiver. But yet the past couple of years, he just did not get the football. I don't think I would put him top three. But, man, if Atlanta enters the season with just Drake London and Kyle Pitts is, like, really their weapons, like, they don't bring in a legitimate wide receiver too, then it's a fair conversation to have, because, like, you got to figure they're going to throw the football a little bit more, especially if they have a guy like Russ that they can lean on. I still think Russ has something to offer. I definitely believe in Justin Fields. You and I are Justin Fields supporters, so I would like that move for them. Yeah, I mean, I would say he'd knock on the door. Like, I would feel good about him top five. I would feel good about him in probably the next
tier. But top three is a little...
top three is a little like, is he going to catch 85 balls and have, you know, 7 to 8 touchdowns? I mean, I don't think, but got to feel good about, you know, if you have him in a dynasty league and you just, like, decided to hold and things like that. I think you got to feel good about the direction that Atlanta's going here.
So, you speaking of things you got to feel good about, do you want to talk NFL tags, or do you want to talk grab bag? Because I have two topics that I kind of wanted to just touch on. Yeah, just
grab
randomly.
Bag. What's that? It's from Trivial Pursuit? Grab bag. Yeah, ever play that online?
Not Trivial Pursuit. I don't know. It's just,
but if you play Trivial Pursuit online on PS or Xbox, there's like a grab bag thing. I'll go.
Is there? Did you not catch that, like, phrasing there? Like, I kind of let it go. I was like, maybe we call it the fun bag, and then I was like, by the way, FTN wins code, get you 10% off. So we move on from that. There you go, Manny. I'll let you actually go with the grab bag of fun. Yes. Grab bag of fun. How about that? There you go. There's two topics I just want to get your random opinion on. So, because it's been that kind of week. So this spilled over from the weekend. Player in college. Here's the first one. Player in college for Duke got hurt because of court storming. If you put this out there, you might as well put going for two, like the NFL. Like, this is one of those ones where immediate firestorm, no matter which side you're on. Are you in favor or are you against court storming in college basketball?
I think it's got to go. Am I the old man here? I never would have really thought about this until what happened over the week. Like, you can't storm the court and run players over. Like, it's not just players, like, fans could get hurt. And what does it take? Like, what if the injury was even more significant? This guy's getting taken off in a stretcher. Like, what has to happen for them to say, all right, we got to ban this? So it's always one of my favorite things to watch. Like, you know, I'm obviously, you're a big sports guy. People are listening to us, you know, we're big sports fans. I love, you know, upsets in sports. I love the storylines. And I think it's kind of cool when, you know, everybody crashes the court or crashes the field. And you have the old clip of, you know, the marching band. The marching band's on the field and they're getting run over. Everybody's getting run over. Like, what needs to happen for them to make a significant change? And unfortunately, like, something significant would need to happen. So I think you got to ban it. ban it.
Well, so you said what needs to happen too. We legitimately almost lost a generational, and this isn't like cliche. This is the legit definition of generational talent with Caitlin Clark for Iowa. She got clipped, and everybody's like, oh, she flopped or whatever. She got clipped and knocked over. Like, you know, it could have been a lot worse. Like, and you said, like, what needs to happen? And it's like, yeah, it has to happen. Like, I'm not, like, I get it. I'm not trying to be like the old man of like, court storming.
But that's how we're going to
worst thing in the world. But like, that's the thing. That's what, as soon as you take a side, if you're anti court storming, you're like, oh, you're terrible. No fun. This is like a once in a lifetime, blah, blah, blah. Because I've joked before when, like, Clemson stormed the field after beating Florida State or something like that. I don't remember. I'm just throwing out random teams because my point was, it's like, you're a top 25 program. You're beating another top 25 program. Like, what are we storming the court for? Like, like, why are we storming the field? Like, that was my kind of point. Like, I get it, but you've actually been there. And then somebody's like, well, those kids haven't been there. Like, so I get it. Look, I get a lot of it. I don't know how you enact this, but I think you can keep the court storming and everybody safe. A countdown clock is kind of my idea. No, I'm serious. Like,
no,
just 1 minute. 1 minute is all you need to get the players off the court. 1 minute. And obviously you need the security, but like, I think you would have to get fans to invest in it. And the thing that came to my mind was what just happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, the half court shot. And they went nuts. I can't think of the player's name right. People went nuts for that shot. They won the game. And if you noticed, no fans got on the court because why? Yeah. You know the outcome if you go on an NBA court. And maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe the college students, maybe all, anybody who actually steps onto the court without permission, and as it's like gives permission, but like the permission is the countdown clock. If you're on the court, just like in baseball, if you're on the field, just like in it's significant fine. I don't know, jail time, just whatever, like whatever it's going to take to keep the players safe. But could you imagine like the 60-second countdown clock and the hype and like of like just waiting to be like, all right, now you can rush the court. Like, and maybe I sound stupid. Maybe it doesn't sound any fun at all. But I mean, I think they're just, we could still have it. We just got to figure out a way to have it without, like you just said, hurting players because drunk like fans or college kids that might be drinking before they're supposed to be drinking or even are allowed to drink are clipping and running into players with no wherewithal of their safety in mind. And you just mentioned they're not the only ones that ever get hurt. And people are just not paying attention to anything. And I think there can be a happy medium, but or maybe I'm just too optimistic on this question.
Yeah, I think I think that's, I mean, if you're going to have it, that's the solution. Or I could see that working. It does seem a little silly. Like, let's set the and maybe they can have fun with it. Here's a 60-second clock. Everyone's freaking out. Everyone's just like ready to go, and then it happens, and they still get their excitement out of it. But man, watching some of these games, like these fans they're amped. Like, I know some stadiums can't let you drink. I don't know if they're on like a dozen Red Bulls, but they are amped and they are ready to go. And when that clock winds
down, Red Bull.
They come back by 10-0 run, another Red Bull. Like these guys are and women, everybody. And I'm with you. I've been to stadiums before and I've been pretty like jacked up from, you know, but I haven't rushed a court and I haven't had the experience or opportunity to rush a court. But I don't even know if I would. But yeah, it's you can't be doing it. I think the NCAA especially has to figure out a solution immediately because they're going to lose somebody significant and it could be even worse. It could be a fan that gets, you know, tramped over
And real quick, I do want to point that like for the joke aside about like waiting for a clock and trying to find that, let go back to it. It's not just Caitlin Clark. This kid, again, I looked at it. I don't follow college basketball closely enough to know the top 25 prospects for the NBA draft. But the one that got hurt for Duke, I looked it up. Like
he's good.
He was projected as a mid first round pick.
Hell yeah.
Mid
for like, their team.
I want people just to think for just 1 second, you're a potential first round pick in any sport, like even football, potential for millions on the table. The injury he had could blow out an ACL. Like they, like you said, they had to help him off the court. You're telling me for like, I know we want to have fun, but you're telling me that we shouldn't take a second thought about potentially ending the future for somebody in a sport in their career. Like that's my point. Like that right there is, what if he has to go back to school for another year? What if he's never right again? Like, what if the leg is just never?
That could be the latter.
Yeah, that he's never right again. I know it's kind of like making a big deal, but it could have happened.
I agree.
I mean, we still don't know.
Yeah,
like, I'm just
100% agree.
So here's another one. They put this on Twitter, and you immediately get a lot of backlash for this one, no matter which side you're on, too. The NFL Rules Committee, whatever you want to call it, they're not going to spend that much time and probably not going to look into changing the rule that a lot of people hate and a lot of people call the worst rule in all sports. It's the NFL fumbling out of the end zone, turnover, the other ball gets the team at the 20. Or gets the ball at the 20, gets the team.
Yeah.
The other team gets the ball at the 20. They said it doesn't happen frequent enough was their excuse for not changing anything right now. Meaning you went first in the last one.
Yeah.
I do legitimately think this is one of the stupidest rules in all of sports. Like top five, maybe even number one. And for everybody out there that's like, well, that's your job. Protect the ball. Like, okay, Adrian Peterson, one of the best running backs of all time, fumbled numerous times. It's football. These are the same, the protect the ball. These are the same jabronis who are like, I could hit a major league pitch. I could get 10 attempts and complete a pass in the NFL. Just protect the ball. It's super simple. Shut up, quarterback on the couch guy, because no, it's not. It happens. And it's a different rule than the other 99 yards. You fumble at the 10 and it goes out of bounds. Guess what? You get the ball where you fumbled it. Like if you fumbled at the 5, it goes five yards forward out of the 10. You get the ball back at the 5. You can't advance the ball fumbling it out of bounds, but you get the ball back. Any other position on the field, you get the ball back. But for some God knows why reason, when you get to the end zone, they're like, hey, you fumbled in the end zone. Tough bananas. We're giving it to the other team. And for everybody out there is like, well, then why do you say penalize them with the 10 or 15 yards? Because, you know, I'm sure you've seen this meeting. A lot of people are like, well, put it back at their 20 and they still keep the ball. And that's their penalty for fumbling it. The only reason people are offering that up is because they're like, let's try to find a happy medium. They're saying, this rule is dumb as you know what.
Yeah.
But I'll at least come to your side a little bit and say, okay, we'll penalize the offense for it happening. They're not saying it makes sense.
They're trying to compromise.
They're trying to compromise. And then I saw somebody was like, well, when you fumble at the back of your own end zone, it's a turnover and you punt it to the other team. Yes, because that's something the defense did. That's not the same thing. That's not
right.
It's apples and oranges fumbling out of your end zone versus fumbling out of the opponent's end zone. Like, I just think there's the stupid-ass rule. And there can be compromise, but the giving it to the other team, like it's the NFL. People are going to fumble. And by the way, like I got it fired up. Meaning, as you can tell, I got fired up not because even so much the rule, is because the competition committee or whoever it is, whatever you want to call them, said it doesn't happen frequent enough that we really need to worry about. Like what?
It seems to be happening more and more, and it seems to happen in key situations. I know it happened a couple times this year. I think of Justin Jefferson in the first half of a game against the Eagles, where a defensive player didn't even make a play. You know, when I was younger, I was fine with it. I guess I also didn't fully, I understood, but I was just thinking like, it was a defensive play and the defense made a play and they rewarded the ball. But sometimes the defense doesn't even make a play. Like Justin Jefferson was actually reaching, I think, for a touchdown to hit the pylon.
He just slipped
out of his hands and he lost it. I think that I agree. I don't like the rule. It certainly does happen and it is happening more and more. I think that, again, compromise. The other team shouldn't get the ball. I think you should stay with the ball. You lose a down and maybe not go back to the 20, but maybe you go back to the opposing 15? team's 20 or something like that.
Wow.
Maybe you just
start the drive over. I don't know about that.
No, like not on your own 20, on their 20 or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you
yeah.
just move back.
Oh, I thought you were saying the opposite.
I thought you said that. I thought you were like, oh, you get the ball.
No, go back to the 20.
That would just be ridiculous because then that would be a huge loss for the defense. It's like, what do you mean? We were just on the field for 10, 15 minutes. It should be our ball. But I think maybe you lost it down, keep the possession.
You fumble out of the end zone. Start the game over.
Start the game over. Kickoff. That will just go through the end zone.
They're talking about that, by the way. Did you see? As a random sidebar, they're using the XFL. How about that? Possibly something from the XFL coming over to the NFL is using their kickoff rules.
It's kind of entertaining. You know, one thing I really liked about the XFL is that, thing I really want the NFL to change is this onside kick. I really do want them to change that. Because
that's the one.
Nothing.
Are you in an agreement with the you're on your own 20, first and 20 or whatever, or fourth and 20, and like you have to convert?
Yeah, I'd love that. Are you kidding me? The drama, the excitement, the possibility of actually being able to get the ball back. Like, these games are just over. Like, we saw the Detroit one, you know, and everyone was hard on the coaching staff and Campbell for being aggressive, but it was also just calling that timeout and then knowing that they weren't even going to get the ball back because they had to get the onside kick. And it's like, you're not going to get it. But if you can complete a 20-yard pass or your fourth and 20, you know, then you can get the ball. I'm all for that.
I think from your own 24th and 15. 20 is a fourth little like, and if you, I don't know, I'm sure somebody out there can math it out and figure out the amount of times it converts. But I was just thinking fourth and 20 feels like it would convert even fewer times than an onside kick, even as the onside kick stands right now. Fourth and 20?
Like I think the onside kick is like 2 for 85 or something.
I know.
Something like
I'm thinking fourth and 20 might even end up being worse.
Yeah, maybe
it's one play, 20 yards. Like, because, you know, I mean, it's kind of almost like a prevent defense to, like, that's the thing. It's like, so I don't know. Hey, but point being, there needs to be a solution. They just need to fix that one.
Change.
Are
that
you watch the XFL?
Oh yeah, I'll tune in. I mean, I won't watch a lot of it, but I'll. I mean, it's football, right? I'll watch when it's on. I'll watch a few games here.
I'm only curious if there's betting here in Virginia because that what happened. I don't know if everybody remembers last time it came around. Soft betting to start things, and
there,
I'm not saying
there,
I'm gonna know, but there were people who were heavily invested in it that I felt like. I think that first week wasn't something ridiculous, like 7 of the 8 games on the under for like the first week or two. It was just.
I think so. There'll be a couple people at FTN that'll be following some props, some DFS plays. I don't know. I won't be giving advice, but maybe if I watch enough of it, I'll be able to catch on.
Let's see if anybody makes it to the NFL again. We had like 4 or 5 players last time.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if you're ever wondering somebody who knows everybody that's in the XFL, check out Emory Hunt. If you don't know who Emory Hunt is, by the way, his last football game plan guide last year for the draft, over 1,000 players. This dude is insane. He's out of his damn mind. 1,000 players. Like, this is the NFL draft is over, and then it did it again, and then it did it again, and he still has players that he's like, 1,000 players. Like, why, Emery? Like, I appreciate
he's a legend.
It, but why?
Do yourself a favor and get to know Emery Hunt's work. He's an absolute legend. And these guys may not, a lot of them won't even sniff the NFL, but he's in tune, man.
Yeah.
Gotta respect that.
And the thing, he doesn't get enough credit because he's not negative. It's like, I don't know if you saw, did you see what JJ Redick said a week or two ago that he could go on his podcast, explain for 15 minutes, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact minutes he said, but for 15 minutes explain how a team won the game and what they did and how they changed things and were great, blah, 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 and get 5,000 views. He could go on there for 15 minutes and trash a player and a team and just talk crap about them, and he'll get 500,000 views. Like, and the problem is that Emery doesn't sit there and be like, oh, he sucks and he's this and hyperbole that and hyperbole. He goes out there and he talks about the players. If somebody's ranked at 70 at wide receiver, he still points out the positives, and the negatives are kind of more like not negatives, but areas of growth.
Yeah.
And give him credit, by the way. Oh, who was the one last year who, before I even had it for fantasy purposes, because we had that conversation on the show, but he was the one before me because he's Emery and he's great, but sat there and said, oh, by the way, Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, about that big of a difference. Not the big difference that everybody else is making it out to be. He was the first person to plant that flag.
And it's everything about not even just rookies. I remember 2 years ago before the Eagles made the big jump, he was like Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. And then the following year, I got him back on my show and I'm like, man, you made that great call. Like, who's the quarterback in the team this year? And he was like Tua in Miami. And that was 2 years ago when Tua in Miami just broke out. So, I mean, yeah, he just understands the game so well. And I do like Reddick, but he can be a pretty negative.
Oh, I hate Reddick, but I like what he said.
He's just honest.
Duke. I hate what he did.
Gotcha.
The shocker thing. Like, I just, I hate, I hate Reddick.
I get it.
But I like what he said. Like, I can hate somebody and still like Joe Montana. I just hate. He's just a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, that's just,
it's
just
meaningless.
But we had the argument. I like what he did in the NFL. I like him as a player. But anyway, as we get out of here, we got tags news. So the interesting thing is not surprising. T. Higgins was tagged. Possibly surprising is the fact that they might consider a long-term contract because the NFL salary cap went phew, like, that's my rocket sound. I can't do a very good rocket sound. That's what happened. It went way over what anybody expected. So there's a lot more room where they're now actually considering something they weren't before, but he's at least definitely back with the team unless they pull off some trade for 2024. The more interesting one is the running back market is going to be flooded this year. Yeah, not expected to get the tag. Barkley, Eckler, Jacobs, Pollard, Henry, all of them. The only one that backtracked a little bit is Joe Sheen yesterday in the questions, said the tag is still on the table. Again, I don't care what they say at the combine. I don't. This is the, like,
They're just saying.
I'll tell you, there is one person I hate at the combine. I'm so glad I'm not there this year. It's the reporter, media person, whatever you want to call them, that goes to every player and is like, "Have the Eagles talked to you? Have the Eagles talked to you? Have the Eagles talked to you?" Like, every player talks to every team. Stop wasting our time. They already don't want to answer questions to begin with. And they're like, "Have you talked to the Cardinals yet?" Like, shut up. Stop. Stop
asking just beat that around question. The bush. They just beat around the bush. They don't give any answers.
And every player meets with every team, unless it's like a seventh rounder. And then maybe they'll be like, "Well, you know, I met with the Giants, Cardinals, and Texans." Like, and if they still might not draft you, who the hell cares? Anyway, sorry. Barkley, Eckler, Jacobs, Pollard, Henry. Tweeted this out, meaning positive. Weak draft class for running backs. Negative. They're all hitting the market at the same time. And this is the NFL where bell cows rarely exist anymore. I'll say outside of Barkley, because I think, can I speak for you and say we both believe he can still be top 10 on any team? Like, he's still in that bell cow conversation because of the passing game work. Yeah. The others are in question. I think Jacobs, if we knew he was back with the Raiders, we would say so. But let me phrase it that way then. Assuming you're on the same page as me, that Eckler, Pollard, and Henry are in a timeshare conversation, and that doesn't mean they're only going to get 50% of the work, but they're in split backfield situations. I expect Henry at this point of his career, and then what we know of Pollard and Eckler. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I say Henry's knocking on the door of bell cow, but we know he's not going to catch as many passes as the other two guys.
Like, I could see Henry falling into a Zeke with the Cowboys scenario.
Yeah, like if Henry went to Dallas or Baltimore, like I would say that he would get like 20 plus touches and they'd just be carries basically.
Okay. So let me go back to Jacobs then. Does Jacobs deserve, not knowing where he ends up, but do you think that Jacobs is more likely to end up in the Barkley bell cow role, even if it's not with the Raiders? Or are you worried that Jacobs is in that other group? And the reason I bring this up is because there's been a lot of talk that he's just going to come back with the Raiders. And if he's back with the Raiders, we all sat here and even said on this show with Antonio Pierce, top 10 running back, he's going to get all the touches in the world. For dynasty keeper offseason trades or stuff like that, are you worried that if another team surprises us and picks him up, that he loses that value on any other team that's not the Raiders?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. If you look across the league, I mean, there's only like a couple of teams that don't have any other running backs on their squad. My thinking is if somebody really does pay for him, and the market is, we all know about the running back market. These guys are not getting paid what they should be getting paid. The shelf life is super short, and GMs are buying into that. I still feel like he could have a bell cow role on another team, but I think what you said, when the Raiders seems like the best opportunity for him, even with Zamir White looking good in those couple of games, just the way that you said, Pierce gave him the ball over and over and over again. So I think that's the best spot for him. And I know they're not ruling it out, but you know, if he went to Minnesota, I could see him as like a bell cow back there. There's just not a lot else going on.
Oh, but Ty Chandler got talked up yesterday at the GM or coach or whoever it was.
Of course he did. But they're not going to roll with Ty Chandler as their starting running back. At least I don't believe so. It's not going to be a guy that carries the rock 12, 15 times a game.
No. Last one before we get out of here. Reminder, by the way, at Chris Maney, if you want to listen to the baseball, Sirius XM, 7 p.m. Saturdays. And lots of good stuff. I don't know what else to say about it. Yeah. You and Dane, I checked in. You and Dane had good conversations. I like.
We'll have Vlad on the show on this week, so that'll be better.
Well, there you go, Vlad. His projections are. Projections are up there with mine. I was about to say, it's not as good as mine.
Yeah, you two are the goats.
He has some terrific ones. I'll put it this way. I check his to be like, do I need to think twice? Kind of like what I do with Emery with my prospects in the NFL. Like I like look at him like, hey, am I wildly different than him? Maybe I need to take a second look at something. So to just tell you how good Vlad is there. By the way, again, FTN Wins gets you 10% off if you want to go check that out. So the last one before we get out of here, we talked free agent wish list last week. I want to touch on one and we'll continue to talk about that because, again, 2 weeks from today is when meeting will be back. We'll be talking free agency. That is free agency week. 2 weeks from today is free agency week. Let's next go. Week is Ryan George. So I just, you're coming for that, not for me. So last one, Calvin Ridley. This one's surprising because Calvin Ridley, if he's back with the team, they have to give up a second versus a third round pick. So knowing that, Calvin Ridley, top 25? Question mark in 2024, not knowing where he's going to be, or is it, does he need to be back with the Jaguars and healthy with the Jaguars? You've already, like, you've got this kerfuffled face look. Or
yeah, it's like I don't
Flumruxton from
Luxton? I don't feel like he was much. I don't know. I don't feel like he was much of a game changer to give up a second. I don't know. Like, I just don't.
I was surprised that there was even talk of him coming back.
Yeah, like, I get it. It was his first year in a while, and maybe you want to build on something. There were some really nice moments from him, but there was a lot of drops. The offense was not good. Trevor Lawrence took a step back. I would be hesitant if I was the Jags to. I would rather kind of keep my second. You know, there's some other guys in the draft that they can take and, you know, get on a rookie contract. You don't got to pay this guy. But I still think he has wide receiver two upside.
If Evans does go to the Chiefs,
my goodness.
The Buccaneers bring back Mayfield, and the Buccaneers replace Evans with Ridley. Top 25 question mark. There you go. There's a possible throwout scenario.
Yeah, I think that's a good. I think that's a good situation. Yeah, I mean, Baker's good last year. He produced a really good season from Mike Evans. No Evans, deep threat guy in the offense.
Detroit and the Jameson Williams owners all go, oh no.
Yeah, like that's I see him linked to Detroit for, like, a lot of people are trying to put those two together. I don't see it being great, man. Like, behind Laporta, behind Amon-Ra, you mentioned Jameson. Like, it's just not something that I think Detroit needs to do. I don't think they need to do that.
No, I'm just trying to think.
It'd be tough to defend them. Holy crap, but I don't think
Chargers, they need a number two. Well, they
Chargers, I could see.
It depends on if they throw in the towel on Quentin Johnston hope already, but that seemed pretty quick. But seems pretty quick, maybe 35 minute show. Fun talk, as you can tell. That's what the offseason is about. If you have any topics that you want us to talk about this offseason, maybe we'll talk about them. And you can do at Chris Meany, at All In Kid. If you have anything you want me to ask Ryan George, I already got a list. It's going to be a fun show. At All In Kid for me on that, too. And we'll see you. I'll see you next Wednesday. Meany,
I'll be tuning in live. I'll tune in.
Two Wednesdays. Yeah. All right. Well, since that's 2 weeks, we might be doing Tuesday and Thursday. There'll be two shows in 2 weeks. We'll figure it out then and we'll announce it. Whatever. Goodbye. Send me out of here, Fox.